You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, this is the laid back Locked On Podcast, where we're talking about not the Timberwolves, but it's going to be on the Timberwolves Podcast Network, and we're talking about Summer League here with Lucas Han. He is the managing editor. And the extraordinaire who's been doing so much covering the Clippers here, working for Clips Nation at SB Nation. Lucas, this is our first podcast in person. How does that feel?
Feels great, man. It's good. It's good to be here in the flesh, stare into those dreamy eyes while we chat basketball, man.
So I'm heading out. You're staying a few more days, right, at Summer League?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. Kind of depends where the Clippers end up, what they end up doing with their prospects, but.
All right, so you'll be here at least a couple more days. Mm-hmm. I'm heading out tonight, so I wanted to talk just pure Summer League, where your thoughts are, who you've really liked, who stood out to you, what's the best food experience you've had, all the major stuff, and we're going to wrap this up in just a few minutes because we've got games to jump around to, we've got stuff to do. The work never stops here at Summer League, so let's get right down to the nitty-gritty of it and kick this off. What has surprised you most about this Summer League so far? And this is kind of, I think we can say pretty confidently what surprises, because the first weekend is really where the major action happens for the studs.
Yeah, honestly, what's been really surprising to me is how little basketball I've watched in the last 3 days. I've been to Summer League before, but I haven't covered Summer League before as a reporter. I've just come, as a casual observer, and when I come as a casual observer, I camp out a spot in the top of Cox, and I watch five games in a row.
Yeah.
And I think I've watched, really paid attention to maybe, four or five games
total
in the last 5 days. Because I'm all, it's just been crazy, bouncing around, talking to different people, meet up with this person, meet up with that person. And then, a lot of times, since there's always games going on, you meet up with someone to watch a game.
Yep.
And while you're watching a game with that person, if I'm talking to someone, if I'm talking to, an NBA executive and I'm watching a game with them, they might be paying attention to the game and kind of, half-heartedly, talking to me. But I'm, hanging on their every word, and I really couldn't care about, the Chicago Bulls Summer League team.
Nobody should care about the Chicago Bulls Summer League team, first of all.
We need to respect Wendell Carter, because he's earned
That's
it.
True. That's true.
But
That's true.
Still, I mean, some things are way more important than others.
Yeah. No, yeah. And, underrated, the truly elite conversations that are happening between NBA heads. I was riding in with Adam Artis of the Locked On Nuggets podcast, and he was saying this is kind of like Comic-Con for NBA heads.
Yeah.
And yeah. So just shoot the breeze and talk, have great basketball conversations all over the place.
I mean, we've been saying, you and I have been sitting around at 3 a.m. having a beer in someone's Airbnb, literally saying, man, there should be a podcast mic here right now, because we've got, we don't have to name, all the people, but, some pretty significant NBA media people, not, big-time reporters, Adrian Wojnarowski is not having a beer with us on the patio, but,
he should be, though.
He should, I think he'd have a good time, to be honest, but just in terms of, the blogger side of people, the people who, pump out these podcasts, and the people who are really active on Twitter, a lot of people who fans follow and they know who they like and dislike, you get 20, 25 of those people in a house together, some people hanging out on the back patio, some people hanging out in the kitchen, some people hanging out over in, in the living room, and it's the conversations that are happening are insane, and it's the type of thing that you get three nights of a year, and all three of them are this weekend, and all three of them are after everyone has just worked a 12-hour day.
Exactly. And you're just soaking all of this in. It's been really a blast for me. This is my first Summer League, so it's been really a blast being a part of it. Can't wait for next year already. Having a great time. Also, super underrated, Cox over Mark Thomas. Better gym, in my opinion. I like the college feel, where it basically feels like you have 400 people plus media right on the court with the players.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem with Thomas and Mac in this setting is just that they don't fill the arena.
Yeah.
For a lot of these games, understandably so.
Mm-hmm.
But the games in the Cox Pavilion, even when it's half full, a half-filled Cox Pavilion is the same amount of people as, like, 1/20th of Thomas and Mack.
Yeah, exactly.
And so Thomas and Mack, when it's empty, feels kind of sad. And it can affect gameplay because there's really no energy. Like, big play happens and there's no crowd reaction. It's tough. But Cox is... I definitely agree the atmosphere in Cox is better, although the view from the media seats is better in Thomas and Mack.
That's true. You are elevated there. It's a little nicer. Like you're talking, bare-bones seating when there's not really enough people there. Last night was a great example of that for the Lakers-Bulls game. That was the late one.
The Clippers' first game was the Clippers actually had the night game all three of their prelim games were the night game, but their first game and then their game tonight, both 10:30 p.m. or 11:30 Eastern games, 8:30 here, and... I mean, the arena's just empty by that point.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's here till 11 o'clock except for me. Like, everyone else has something better to do in Vegas.
All right, so switching gears here, after what surprised you, what player has really stuck out to you as somebody that you loved watching throughout the first weekend? What player has really stuck out to you? Because for me, it's Harry Giles off of the Sacramento Kings. Just an animal on both sides of the board. He's coming after people. I don't know if you saw the quote, but he said that on defense, he's not letting people look for him because he's looking for people. I just love that mentality he brings to the floor. And I know that he's had his injuries. So, I mean, I don't know if it's sustainable just throughout a whole season because he might get gassed. I don't know where his conditioning is at. But for right now, it's a blast to watch him play.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I haven't critically watched a ton of these games, but Giles is definitely a guy who I think has impressed here. Josh Hart is a guy who we know he's an NBA guy, but I think he's really showing. Like, if there was any question that Josh Hart shouldn't have had to come to Summer League, we now know that Josh Hart should not have had to come to Summer League.
Yeah.
And John Collins is another guy in that situation where maybe we weren't quite sure that he was this much better than fringe NBA guys, and he showed it. Sindarius Thornwell for the Clippers is a guy who has really been, man among boys in terms of just bullying people. And a lot of stuff he's doing maybe isn't stuff that will translate to an actual NBA game, but it just shows kind of the head and shoulders that he has on these, like, G League 10-day, two-way deal, second-round pick fringe guys that populate most of the Summer League. I will say one kind of under-the-radar guy is Vlatko Chanchar on the Nuggets has been... nothing spectacular, but he's been really solid, right place, right time, good decision making, and probably a little more mobile than you'd think. So, he's a guy who I don't think he's coming over this year for Denver, but he's a guy who probably will be a rotation guy in the NBA at some point, which frankly there aren't a ton of out here guys that will be rotation guys in the NBA.
Yeah.
So that's noteworthy.
I'm in an Airbnb house with I think there's four Nuggets guys in there, so I've heard the rundown on him a couple times already this weekend. They love him, and they like kind of he's a good stash guy. Every year you see there's like four or five guys around Summer League where you say, you know what, they're not going to consistently be on the roster, but they're going to be a great stash guy throughout the year.
At some point, the Nuggets are going to say, hey, we need a backup power forward. And they won't have to worry about going and signing one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a nice way to save a little cash, especially when they're offloading it so heavily this offseason. Guys like that are super important, especially to find them in Summer League. Switching gears here. Let's switch gears here. Let's have a little more fun with this. Eating. We're in Las Vegas. There's some nice spots. What's the best food that you've had here?
So I've not had a bunch of culinary excursions while I've been here. I will say I'm very happy to report that I've only eaten arena food once through the first weekend. Although I do think, because I tried to go to a food court on campus today and it was closed. They closed at like 3 p.m.
Really?
Because it's like, I guess it's summer, like limited hours. But okay. So I'm probably going to have to go to arena food tonight.
So I'm
looking for recommendations. I'm going to ask around in the media section seating. But I will say I've eaten places around campus mostly, but I did go to the Strip last night after the Clippers game. I finished covering. I'm gonna go gamble a little bit.
There you go.
And I
love it.
I did well enough to decide that at like around 6 a.m. I was gonna go treat myself to a really nice breakfast.
Love the late night into early morning excursion.
I was playing craps from about 2 to 6 a.m.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What a stud.
And so I went to this place called Pantry in the Mirage, and it was really good. I got corned beef hash, and like, you know how corned beef hash is normally like kind of all mushed together?
Yeah.
This was legitimately just like chunks of potatoes and chunks of corned beef. It was so good.
I had In-N-Out for the first time ever this weekend.
So I had In-N-Out the other night, but I also like grew up in Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly.
So while I love In-N-Out, to me it's not like Vegas food. It's just it's really close to where the arena is, so it's convenient to go grab if you're trying to avoid eating arena food at all costs, which I am.
Exactly. And I was about to say, like, I know that's not a big deal for like LA guys such as yourself, all the Lakers media that's out here, but as a guy who the last time I was on the West Coast was when I was, I think, 8, like, I've never had In-N-Out. That stuff is so good. Like, it's I thought it was overhyped when I hear West Coast people talk about it. That place is the plug. And those shakes are great.
You know what I will say, though? I had a dinner meeting with someone, and they, you know, it's like, it was like a quick thing, like, just go grab food and come back to the arena, but we were talking over dinner, and this person really wanted to get Cane's chicken fingers. They were like, I'm just kind of craving it. Let's go get it. Not great, dude. I don't see what the point is. I don't see what the difference is between their chicken fingers and anyone else's. And their menu, like, I almost laughed when I walked in and looked at the menu because it's like they have 4 things on the menu, and it's an order of 3 chicken fingers, an order of 4 chicken fingers, an order of 5 chicken fingers, and chicken fingers on a sandwich. That's their menu. And I was like,
they're covering all the bases, clearly.
Like, and then you could order a solo one on the side for like $1.50.
What? All right, I don't even want to meet the guy who's coming in and ordering chicken fingers by the single. There's too many drugs, dude.
You're like, I need 6, but I don't want the second order of fries from getting 2 3-piece meals. So I'm gonna get a 5-piece meal and a chicken finger on the side.
Gosh. Jeez. All right, we're not gonna talk about them anymore. We did. What was it? A bunch of the like SB Nation and Locked On guys that I've been hanging out with kind of this weekend, we did go to this place, just this little hole-in-the-wall Mexican breakfast place called Breakfast Grill. Super generic name, but fantastic breakfast burritos.
Yeah, I remember specifically not waking up to go to that. I see all these like breakfast get-togethers. I'm like, honestly, dude, the game start at noon. I don't have to be here at noon because if I'm not covering a game that's going on, you know, I'm not going to be here for 10 hours. Mm-hmm. I'll get burned out. But, like, I've been waking up at, like, 11:30 and 12, to be honest. Cause
that's a nice play.
You see what's been, like, honestly, I think, I mean, I don't know. The breakfast get-togethers are good and fun, and I would go if I wasn't so tired. But, like, I do the games all day, and then the late-night get-togethers, it's never ending up back in my bed until at least, like, 4 or 5 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just trying to sleep till noon so that I don't fall asleep on press row and get my credential revoked.
Dude, I've been burning both ends of the candle because I have been going I've been going out with the crew, and I can burn myself out because I'm only here till today. So I've been
going out. Well, you're a young guy, you know what I mean? Like, some of us have been around for a while. We can't.
I know you're a hardened vet. I've been going out, staying out 4 or 6, and then I wake up, go to the breakfast thing, come here, spend 10 hours in the arena, and then I go back out. The Strip, if you've never been, it's hard to describe, but the Strip is, I've heard about the Strip, obviously, I've heard people talk about it before.
You've never been to Las Vegas before.
I know,
weekend.
And so,
I didn't know that. I just thought it was, okay.
Even after everything I've heard, the Strip was still so underrated to how bougie it actually is. It was so much fun going out there, though.
And then what's
great food on the Strip, too. A little pricey, but great restaurants all over the place.
What's really funny is it's, like, the most bougie, extravagant thing. And the more you come to Las Vegas and the longer you stay when you're here, the more, like, obvious that it's, like, gold spray paint on a trash can. Like, it's like, a pretty trashy place unless you end up in, like, the high-end nightclubs or something like that. And, you know, I don't, maybe you're on the list, brother, but that's not where I'm hanging out.
Hey, there's always a back door open, is what I've learned over an extensive career of being broke. There's always a back door open. But then you kind of see, like, you peel back that gold when you go to Front Street, I feel like. And the gambling is cheaper, but it's
Fremont, yeah.
Fremont, that's what I meant, Fremont Street. I like Old Vegas, I like the Strip.
Old Vegas is cool, yeah. I know you guys went up there last night, but, you know, I had to take myself to a little higher tables on the Strip, but.
Well, after going to the Strip, like, you can only gamble, as bad as I've been with the cards, you can only gamble on the Strip once before you have to go elsewhere. And
if you lose.
Exactly. I've been the cars have not been nice to me, man. It's been rough. I need a, all right, so we're gonna do this for like one more minute. So we're gonna finish out. What do you hope to see from Summer League? This can be basketball related, this can be otherwise. What do you hope to see with the rest of your Summer League experience?
So the biggest thing for me personally at Summer League is I have a chance to have conversations with people that I can't get in the room with the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not an inside sources guy. I don't talk to league executives. Mm-hmm. It's not what I do. It's not the kind of reporting that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And here, you just find yourself sitting next to someone and you chat with them. You find yourself in the elevator with someone. And, like, you know, I, like, have worked a little bit in basketball and been around for a while around the Clippers. So, like, I can say, like, oh, hey, like, I know this person you know. It's nice to meet you. And just, like, have casual conversations with people and network in a way that you just can't. Like, it's just not possible to do the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think from like, a basketball fan perspective, rather than looking for what players are playing well, I'm looking for individual, like, super zoomed in plays and attributes that players make to show me that they have something that I think is of a quality that can translate to the NBA. Because mm-hmm. someone playing well in Summer League, like, being the best player or a good Summer League player does not mean that you will be a good NBA player. It's not a one-to-one translation. But you can look at someone who plays very poorly but zoom in and just see, like, a few things that they're doing and really project them into being quality in an NBA role.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that leads into what I'm hoping for. I'll be here for the Timberwolves game tonight before my plane takes off. And while I'm here actually on the court, like, eye level with him, I want to see what Josh Okogie's, what his basketball IQ is. I think you can, you obviously can't do it all in one game, but I think there's ways that he can project his basketball IQ with the way he's anticipating plays, the way he plays when there's a transition and kind of everything hits the fan, and the way he acts in those kind of plays and how he knows how to react in those situations. That's where you can see kind of a basketball player's IQ and how he's going to do when everything picks up another gear in the next level of the NBA.
Yeah, I'm a little less invested in Okogie's development than you are. Obviously, I don't cover the team, but I would like to see him dunk. A lot. That's what I'd like to see.
That'd be
Josh
fine with me too. That'd be fine with me too. I can go for both. All right. Make sure, guys, to check out Clips Nation. There's been some really great content from Lucas Han over the weekend, and you guys just signed another guard. You have somebody coming back, and you wrote a pretty nice piece on Mutaba Mute coming back to the Clippers Nation. Make sure to go check that out.
Royalty returns. The prince is back.
It's something else. It's something else hanging out with Nuggets and Clippers people all weekend. You hear a lot of takes.
At least it's not Lakers and Celtics people.
It's been that too. The house is too many people, maybe. That's what the problem is. But this has been, thank you for tuning into another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.